Welcome to all for this pit, listeners. Welcome to 2021, the year where all your wildest dreams come true.
And I, for one, am really excited. Although time is a man-made constraint, therefore 2021 doesn't actually have anything different to 2020. So enjoy the shit show, everyone.
God, honestly, you really know how to bring the mood down, don't you, Kieran? Doomsayer.
That's my intention. Yeah, no more. You just need to be realistic. Come on. Live in the real world, yeah. It's a dog-eat-dog world out there, and it's dinner time, so...
Are you going for auditions for, like, an 80s throwback movie or something?
It's just another one of those inspirational phrases that I've picked up along the way in my journey through this craziness we call life.
I'll tell you what, mate. I am so hyped about your self-help book when it comes out, because it's going to be fucking incredible.
Yeah, if you've got a problem, just fucking deal with it. I'm going to change my Facebook thing to Went to the School of Life. School of Hard Knocks.
Don't.
I'm becoming that guy.
I didn't get a degree, but I went to the University of Experience.
Yeah, that's why I'm on the dole. No, I shouldn't say that. Not everyone who didn't go to university is on the dole, but...
Everyone I know didn't go to uni is doing better than I am. But I guess that's what you get for studying media studies at a third-tier university in the UK. So
Never mind. What have you been up to, dog?
Oh, just living, mate. Just living.
Surviving or living?
Surviving or thriving. Bit of both, actually. I went back to work and it's just full on. I promised myself, I did the thing after Christmas of getting on the scales and having a look at what my weight is, because I haven't checked since before lockdown. And I thought, let's take a look, because I knew it was going to be bad. Like, there's loads of people I know who've, like, lost weight during lockdown. And I've just done the opposite. So I weighed myself and I was like, shit, this is really bad. Like, this is not good. I've put on substantially more weight since March. So I need to shift some now. And I keep seeing, every time I go on Instagram, I see kind of, you know, a couple of our followers, like Peter's losing it, or Born to Bleed doing his 100 burpees a day, or whatever he's doing, and then Peter's losing it, getting out and walking all the time. Like, kudos to those guys, they're inspirational. And I thought, you know what, I need to do something. So I've been on the Spaceman food. I bought some bought some Huel.
Been eating Moonrock.
Yeah, it's delicious. It's not bad, and I've just been doing that like twice a day and having a normal meal on the night, and I've managed to get rid of some, but I know what I'm like. I fall off things a few weeks in, so I need to carry on with it.
I feel like, because we're still working from home, that like you get to the end of Christmas and you go back to work and then you're like, oh, it's all, like, back to normality now. I can't eat, you know, six bags of crisps a day and this much chocolate and this much whatever. But because we're working at home, it kind of feels like that's still going on. So I feel like I'm just carrying on the way I did at Christmas, which is probably not the right way to do it. You know, 6 weeks of heartburn is probably not a healthy thing.
I don't think there's a wrong way to do anything. I think you just do what you want to do. But
why don't you, if you want to get out there and get an exercise, you could join my beginner's lumberjack club that I'm starting where I live.
Oh, God.
In the countryside.
Sounds like it. Is there a GoFundMe page for this?
There will be. Now, I've just been out the back sawing up some wood because we're speaking of Christmas. We had a real Christmas tree, so I decided
showing off.
I know, yeah, because that's the kind of person that we are.
Flash bastard.
Multiple personalities here. So really, I just wanted to put to use all the Czech shirts that I'd bought over the years from, you know, listening to post-hardcore bands and put them to good use and actually begin my new career as a lumberjack. So sawed it all up. It's quite therapeutic, actually. I don't know how many calories I burnt, but it's quite fun sawing up a tree. Then I gave it to the neighbour because he's got a wood burner, so, you know.
Oh, what a legend.
I know. I'd like to give back to the community.
Do you have... I've got two questions for you.
I've got two answers.
One is about your lumberjack equipment. Do you have an axe as well as a saw?
No, I don't have an axe. I actually ordered a saw on Amazon today to come tomorrow, but then I saw the neighbour, and then...
Saw
the neighbour. Yeah, yeah. Oh. And we buried the hatchet.
Oh.
And then I said, can I borrow a saw? Have you got one? And he went, I've got a tree. Which one do you want?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
No. That's the upshot of that story, really.
Okay.
I can't drag it out anymore.
Second question, then. We are going to drag it out a bit more. Do you have all three required colours of post-hardcore Czech shirt? Do you have red and black squares, yellow and black squares, and blue and black squares?
I don't have them all now, but I have over my lifetime had those ones.
Excellent.
And actually, I might be lacking in the Czech shirts at the minute. I need to think about that. I might need to go and get some more. But there's nothing better than a Czech shirt.
You know what we need to do? We need to do a fashion post on Instagram soon. We need to do a kind of what was the most embarrassing item of clothing to do with, like, kind of, I don't know, metal or punk that you've ever owned, or haircut, something along those lines. We might do that soon.
Well, I don't have any hair, so I would feel excluded by this. This is 2021, Graham, not 2020, and it's all about inclusivity and diversity. So I would kindly reject your offer to do that.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
Anyway, what did you get up to for New Year? Was it a cesspit of drugs and alcohol and music and lots of debauchery around yours, or was it, it wasn't what it normally was then?
No, obviously. I mean, I had a pizza and I went to bed at 9 o'clock, I think. I don't know what it is. Like, we were saying this, actually, me and you, we were talking about, like, how when you're younger, like, I mean, obviously New Year this year was totally different because you couldn't really see anyone. But New Year previously, like, used to be such a big thing when I was younger. Used to, like, go into town, pay insane prices at pubs and bars, queue for ages. Now I'm just like, fuck it. Like, I just don't care. I mean, part of that, obviously, is just a total lack of sleep from Logan waking me up at 5 every morning. But I still think I wouldn't be that bothered. I'm just not arsed anymore. Just don't care.
I think drugs might be the answer for, you know, staying up. Because if Logan's tiring you out, maybe some Class A's would, I don't know, not only keep the party going, but keep the parenting going. The parenting.
Well, what I've learned from all the parenting books that we read before we were expecting is that, yes, they do recommend taking copious amounts of Class A's and staying up for at least 72 hours to unleash the best parenting skills you have possible inside you. They're locked away and the drugs just bring them out, basically. Please don't do this. This is not advice. Disclaimer.
I just need to grab a pen because I need to write this down for my self-help book. I don't think I've got a pen, but I'll remember that because that's some good advice. But it's New Year, new us, because not only have we got a brand new intro, which is a rehash of the old intro, but I just re-recorded it finally after like 8 months of being a lazy bastard, and now it actually sounds okay to mediocre. But you've got a shiny new microphone, so it's treats for everyone today.
Yeah, this is like, you know when like your wife gets a new pair of glasses and you're like, fuck, I hope they're not too much sharper because she's going to see what I look like. This is basically the audio equivalent of that, so I think we're going to lose listeners from this. They're going to be like, God, he sounds even worse. I can hear him better.
Yeah, when you figure out that you're doing those like really weird noises when you're talking, you're like...
Yeah.
So, how did you write the first album? What's your favourite tour memory? Super sensitive mic.
We've discussed this because, like, Kristen, I think I told you, Kristen told me once that when I eat, I do, like, really heavy breathing, which doesn't surprise me because I do love eating. But apparently I grunt in between bites.
Nice.
Yeah.
That just means you're getting really into it.
Of the intro, though, like, I mean, obviously they're going to hear it in a bit, but it's awesome because Kieran's put like at least 400% more drums in there.
Yeah, the other one was like, for any of the, you know, audio people, it was just like a really shitty amp simulator in Pro Tools. I don't think I even played with the settings, and the bass was just a guitar that I just recorded and just tuned down. So it had all the impact of like, I don't know, a wet fish gently stroking across your face or whatever, whereas now it's more like a shark biting you in your heart and ripping it out, which gets you really ready for our interviews.
Yeah, I don't know what to say to that. I really don't. There's a lot of stuff that I don't understand, and then a metaphor and an analogy that I understand even less. But as long as people like it, that's all good. And speaking of liking stuff, we've had quite a new followers on
things that we like.
Yeah. Talking about things that we like. We've had quite a lot of new followers on Instagram recently, which is nice. So welcome to anyone who's not. If you're not on our Instagram, by the way, if you just listen to this on Spotify or Stitcher or whatever, Apple Music, have a look at our Instagram because, I don't know, you might like some of the content on there. We're doing some more kind of engaging question and answer stuff that you've got a chance to comment and like. So
win a prize.
there's no prizes. Kieran keeps saying there's prizes, and then he puts a small asterisk at the bottom, which I'm thinking is going to get us in legal trouble. But
too old for this pit. I think, to be fair, it's just we've become a victim of our own success in a way. We're just a product now. We're just a marketing machine. I feel like we're really out of touch with our listeners. With just this success, it's hard to control. And I understand what people say when they get famous and they're like, that, you know, that person changed. And when the people get famous and they say that it changed them, it's hard to understand what that's like.
But your dog must have changed, because your dog's Instagram, Dwight's Instagram, has four times the number of followers that ours does. Your dog is better at social media than we are.
And he doesn't even do it. Well, maybe we need to get him on board. Anyway,
I think we do.
Today's episode is cool.
Yeah, it's a really good one. I mean, every episode's a good one because the guests we've had have been brilliant. But this was a fun chat, and this is a kind of this is a good look at what happens one morning when you're due to fly out to South America and you get some news that changes the rest of your life.
This again sounds like a film plot.
Yeah.
He was flying out to South America, and then he got some news that would change the rest of his life.
Sir, the president's dead. Yeah.
We spoke to Sonny Vega, who was the bassist for a band called Close Your Eyes, who had three awesome albums. But he left in 2014 to be a dad, didn't he?
Yeah, and it's interesting that, like, how he came to that decision and adjusting to his new lifestyle, because you know, it basically has to kind of rehabilitate himself a little bit, which he talks about. But yeah, it was a great chat. There's a really, really good bit as well about how Close Your Eyes ended up signing to Victory Records and the way I think he played it down what they did, but like amazing like band marketing that they did to get themselves signed to Victory.
Yeah. So, I love hearing like the backstory of how bands get signed and stuff, because like I said in the interview, you know, they released an EP in 2008, I think it was, and in 2009 they were on Victory. It's like, we started a band and just got signed, as you do. But I don't know if I mentioned it in there, but I like the fact that we had him on, because he's got a podcast as well called Always Sunny,
yeah,
which is kind of similar to ours, but definitely do not check that podcast out. Listen to ours first. It's awful.
Don't listen to ours first. You might notice the quality difference.
No, he's got a really cool podcast, but it's like he's kind of doing what we're doing, but he was successful, which, you know, is one kind of crucial thing. But
like you said earlier, though, you can't define time, and I don't think you can define success. So we're fine. We're okay.
Yeah, we're getting there. But little word of warning: if you don't like swearing, you're a pussy. But if you're listening and your kids are around or anything, then there is a little bit of coarse language towards the end from some of the fan questions. So we haven't bleeped it out because, you know, that's not what we're about. We're about being real. But if you've got your kids around or whatever, then maybe kick them outside for a bit when you listen to the end.
Can I just say as well, Kieran, if 2021 is the year of inclusivity for bald-headed people, I'm not sure you're allowed to use gendered insults like that either. So
what did I say?
You said the P word.
Oh, right. All right. Well, if you don't like swearing, then
look at you. You're not even aware of your own shortcomings.
Yeah, my own bigotry or whatever.
Or whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if you don't like swearing, who doesn't like swearing?
I like swearing, but I think swearing has a time and a place, and I think you have to use it to be effective. Do you know what I mean? Like swearing should add a bit of spice. It should add some weight.
Well, I think it's like ketchup, where some people don't want it on everything, but I want it on everything.
Do your dad swear?
My dad?
Yeah.
No, not very often, no. I heard him swear when he's had a beer and stuff, but yeah, he doesn't normally know.
And while we're on it, what do you think the definition, where does swearing start? We're going way off here, by the way, but it's fine, we'll come back. Where does swearing begin? What's the one word that is like the threshold for a swear word, the lowest threshold?
Shit.
Oh, that's interesting. So a lot of people think bloody, don't they?
Well, yeah, bloody, but that's an English thing, because you wouldn't. We say that, don't we? But
yeah,
I feel like that's something that it becomes appropriate with age. You know, when you get to like your teens, then you can maybe say bloody, but you can't be like, yeah, "Oh, Dad, I'm really fucking wound up today," or whatever. But you can be like, "Oh, Dad, I've got a load of bloody homework." Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, crap.
Yeah, boobs. Should we crack on with this interview?
Yeah, let's do it. I'm so sorry for putting you all through this. Here's Too Old for This Pit, episode 15 with Sonny Vega.
Welcome to 12 for this Pit, episode 15. So we're really excited to talk to our guest today. Our guest has played in a prolific Texan melodic hardcore band that were active for over a decade, putting out three incredible albums through Victory Records.
Yeah, and after a long stint of making music and touring it around the world, he's now a settled down family man with a brilliantly witty podcast. Welcome Sonny Verga, former bassist of Close Your Eyes and current host of the Always Sonny podcast. How are you doing, Sonny?
I'm good, man. I'm good. It's like 11:20 my time in the morning. So I'm not going to lie, I just woke up a little bit ago, but I'm ready to go.
Oh, yeah, man.
We always forget with American guests, there's always like a big time difference. And we're like on at 7 o'clock and they're just having a lunch, or we're doing it earlier and they're just having breakfast.
They're having their lunch while they're just like eating while we're talking.
Oh, that would be a pain to edit out, dude.
Yeah, when we've got the guests who aren't really interested and they come on and they're having the sandwiches, you know.
Well, I'm usually drinking when I do this kind of thing. So but I couldn't bring myself to do it at 11:20 in the morning. I can't do it.
We've never done that, but we've always talked about like doing a drunk episode, haven't we? Maybe we'll have to do it one day.
Well, that was the plan originally when we said lockdown was over, which we said this about 6 months ago. We were like, when lockdown's over, because we only started this podcast after COVID, so we've never actually done one in person. And our plan was to thought when it, lockdown's over, we'll just get together, we'll just hit record and we'll just get smashed and put it out. But, you know, so far it's not happening, apparently.
That's literally my show. Like, we drink for about 2 hours and then I press record. With my co-host. And so every time you like listen to us, like we do kind of like a cold open, a monologue, and then I put the interview during the interview. I don't get as smashed because I don't want to like, you know, blow it with my guests. Yeah. But the intro and outro of the show, it's just me and my co-host belligerent. That's all it is. So it's a good time. It's fun, man.
Yeah.
When I remember to save my recordings, that's happened once. I was so,
oh, no.
I was so drunk. I was like, yo, we got to do this again. I'm so sorry.
Oh, no.
Well, I'm in a couple of podcast groups on Facebook, and there's a couple of those groups where they said similar things. Like, I've just had my biggest guest on, planning it for months, and then I got to the end and I realized I not hit record. What do I do? And like, there is nothing you can do.
Yeah. I mean, that's a tough one. Unless you can convince them to come on again. Yeah, that's rough. That actually happened with me. 2 weeks ago, I actually recorded an episode with our Close Your Eyes vocalist, Shane. Mm. And we just started riffing and having a great time. And by the end of it, you know, we had recorded for 3 hours. And so the next morning, I woke up with a steaming headache. And then I started editing and I was like, I can't release this. Like, there's no way I'm going to put this into the universe. We are so drunk. Like, we are so drunk. And what's funny is, like, 10 minutes later, I hadn't even contacted him yet. Shane texted me. He was like, yo, I don't remember ending the interview last night. Is any of that usable? I think you're going to have to do it again. He's like, fair enough. We'll do it again. So I'm lucky that happened with my friend because we can just do it again.
Maybe it's like a good little tactic for a good sounding episode. Maybe we should just try it next time.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say that you woke up and he texted you and it was still recording and you had 4 terabytes of data and you had to edit all of it.
8 hours of someone sleeping.
Yeah. Just passed out in my chair.
Yeah. Well, we've definitely hit record this time. I've just checked. But yeah, really.
Yeah, I've literally just checked too.
I was saying to Graham before, like, really, like, you're kind of our competition. So I don't know whether we should, like, have it out while we're on here now, because technically we're like, competing podcasts, aren't we?
Dude, y'all are awesome. I my wife and I last night, I showed her y'all's trailer and we were cracking up, especially the bit, you know, standing in the back next to the bathrooms near the exit. Like, she started laughing her ass off and she was like, that's why I'm gonna do this podcast with these guys, because that's us.
Well, this is what we're saying. We're like, yeah, we're getting Sonny Verga on, but we're like, you know, we sit here and chat about music, but you have had a successful career in music, so you kind of got a few more credentials and us when it comes to, you know, discussing music.
More.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We don't have any
all
credentials. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But then, yeah, so you've obviously transitioned over to kind of a family life, which, well, we have, well, Graham has done, I don't have any children yet, but you've kind of lived that life and then moved on to, I suppose, what we're doing now in like real life and being, I don't know your age, I'm not going to say an old person, but yeah, it's all about, you know, getting out of the gig before the encore. You have to plan ahead of how many beers you're going to have. Yeah, the joys of aging.
Yeah, dude. Well, just to get it out of the way, I'm 34 years old.
Okay, me too.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm not too old, but I'm feeling it. You know, I definitely can't drink as much as I used to. Back in the early days of touring, touring in a 15-passenger van, I was able to sleep, like, on a bench. You know, we all had, like, our own bench. There's no way, no way in hell I could do that now. There's no way. Like, I would be done. I wouldn't be able to move on stage at all. Like, I'd be playing in a fucking wheel if I was to sleep on a bench again.
Well, we talk about, like, the joke about pulling you back in your sleep, and I did it the other day again. Woke up and somehow managed to twinge my back in my nice bed. How do you sleep on a bench in a van? Like, especially repeatedly, that must be absolutely brutal for a period of months.
His spine is just a permanent S shape now or something. Yeah. Because, you know, like, have you seen The Hunchback of Notre Dame?
That's me, dude. Like I said, younger years, it didn't matter. Like, we would sleep on people's floor. Like, we'd literally go into, I mean, geographically, you guys would know what I'm talking about. Like, backwoods Kentucky, VFW, population of maybe 800 people. Mm. And, like, play this show. And we're like, thank you, good night. And if come to the merch table, talk to us. And if you have a floor that we can sleep on tonight, that'd be rad, you know? And so we were very used to just being smelly boys with just terrible eating, sleeping habits, living on $5 per diems a day. And luckily, though, when I left the band, we got to a point where my last tour was in my South America run, and we had a tour bus. And so we got to a point where I wasn't really dying at every show towards the end of my run with the band. But at first, I mean, we started touring in a Suburban. Like, we seriously sat like this all day and slept on each other's shoulders like this. Like, that was touring at first, and Close Your Eyes. It was wild.
I've played in bands over the years, but obviously, as we've, you know, mentioned, none of them were successful. But we did, in one band I was in, we managed to book a couple of weeks and do a little tour in the UK. And we bought, it looked like an A-team van, but it was basically someone who bought a black van, painted a red stripe, and then the spoiler at the back was made out of wood, which I don't know whether there's any laws, you know, around whether that's, you know, legal or not, I don't know. But yeah, we had some nights like on that where I think one night I tried to sleep in the footwell of the van, and it just wasn't happening. One night I slept under the van, as in between the road and the van, with, like, I don't even know not the engine.
Why would you do that?
I don't. Well, there wasn't enough room anywhere to sleep anywhere else. And
if someone takes the handbrake off, your head gets squashed like a melon. Though, why would you do that?
Well, it's hardcore. You know, that's what it's all about.
Living on the edge.
But really, thinking about it, like, you would have all chipped in £10 each. You probably could have just got a nice hotel or something. But at the same time, it's really funny to look back, and it's great memories in it. And you might not want to live that life right now, but there's got to be some good memories of those times.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You know, I look back very fondly on those times, early touring, you know, when we were doing the VFW circuit and stuff like that. It was so much fun, man. And those are the shows that I think about most. You know, I get asked, you know, like, what was it like? You know, did you love playing, you know, when we were starting to do the bigger shows, you know, with the guardrails, the security? And I'm like, man, it was cool. Don't get me wrong, especially at first, like, looking out in a crowd of people like that, it was amazing, and it makes you feel good, you know. But now here I am, and I find myself thinking about the shows at the VFWs, those basement shows, the shows where my teeth were getting fucking kicked in by the mic because kids were jumping up screaming the lyrics, you know. Like, I miss those shows. Like, fuck a guardrail, dude. Like, I want people jumping into me. Like, I want them all over me, to the point where I'm not even playing my bass because I'm just doing this because they're right up against me. You know, like, I miss those shows, man. Those are the shows I look back on and think about now as a 34-year-old man. And I don't know. It was just fun. It was real, and it was the worst and best time of my life all at once.
Yeah, I was thinking, I guess there's always going to be a part of you that obviously misses those crazy live shows and that energy, and as you say, getting your teeth kicked in by a microphone. But I imagine there's times too now where you you know, you're sat at home and enjoying maybe the tranquility and then the relaxation of a domestic life, and you think, yeah, I'm glad I had those times, but also I'm going to go to bed at 10:30 tonight.
Oh, that's too late for me, man. I'm in by 9, honestly, dude.
I suppose, yeah, you know, not even just to you know, to normal life, you could always ask your wife just to kick you in the teeth or something, or turn the heating that's right true. Up so it's like really hot, and you can maybe just try and relive the, you know, the glory days, still get an early night and not have a bad back in the morning.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. I got out when I want, like, when I left the band, I kind of was feeling burned out, man. You know, like doing that for as long, and you know, for some people, you figure out pretty quickly touring's not for me. It's really rough. For some people, they're going to tour until they're 60 something years old. You know, I loved it. I had a great time. Towards the end of it, I kind of just, I felt myself getting burned out. I was a lot crankier than I used to be. I needed more sleep. You know, I needed this. My wife was holding down the fort at home while I was on tour, like, you know, 7 to 9 months out of the year. And I kind of started feeling that call home, like time to rail it back. It's time to rail it back. And then the morning I was leaving for South America, my wife got up at the alarm. She went to the bathroom and she screamed. And I jumped up thinking somebody broke into the fucking house or something. And she's like, "We're pregnant." And she was holding her test. And I was like, "Oh my gosh, like this is one of the greatest days of our lives. I'll see you in 2 weeks. I gotta catch a flight in 2 hours." Yeah. Like it was awful. Like and that's when it hit me. I was like, I can't like, I wasn't able to spend the best day of my wife's life, you know, and in my life too, finding out that I was gonna be a father with my wife. You know, like what else am I gonna miss? And so I definitely that whole plane ride, I, you know, thought about it, talked to the guys, everybody congratulated me. And then I was like, I think I'm done. And no bad blood. Everybody was, you know, it was like, yeah, I mean, like what, you know, like I've toured with bands that had kids at home and families at home. And I saw how tough it was for them, and more power to them to be able to do it. But I was already feeling it, already feeling my time was coming to an end in the band. So I saw that kind of as like a sign from the universe, like, okay, like, here you go. Here's your, that was an awesome chapter. You spent your 20s partying around the world and like living some good times and memories that, you know, a lot of people don't get to. Let's start that next chapter and of your life and focus on being a husband and focus on being a father. And so I made that decision and I don't regret it. And I love it. Still great friends with everybody except for one person in the band. And like, we're like, I'm very glad that I did what I did. And you know, I lived that life, made those memories, but you're absolutely right. At the end of the day, man, I love being at home and like sitting down on a proper couch and not on a bench in a bus, you know, or something, or in a tour van. I you could pay me, you know, X amount of money to tour again or you know, me stay what I'm doing now with my career and my family. I'll pick this every time, you know. I'm glad I did that, but I'm good. Like I like my life right now. Definitely love being the old man father guy.
And what's really good as well is that I think there's so many musicians and so many people who leave something who don't get a choice in that. And to be able to be like the kind of master of your own fate and kind of say, it's me making the decision rather than it being taken away or rather than, you know, something going wrong or the band breaking up. That must be really nice that you were in control of that situation and it was your choice. It must make everything that happened before it and all the memories from the band, I don't know, just so much more fun to think about.
And you're right. You know, it does feel better to say that I left on my own terms instead of waiting for the band to break up or this and that. But it feels good knowing at the end of the day, like, I mean, as weird as this sounds, like, oh, I feel like a man, but you know, I feel good that I saw my responsibility and I didn't dismiss it. You know, I was like, somebody's got to be a dad to this girl. And I mean, I'm not going to be a great father on the road. I mean, Not saying people who tour aren't great fathers, but what I'm saying is I want to be there. I want to be in my daughter's life. You know, I don't want her to get to know me on a like this, you know, like on a Zoom app or Zoom call. And I miss, you know, how many birthdays am I going to miss? You know, like my wife's birthday, my birthday and our anniversary all in the month of July. And July is a heavy touring time, you know, heavy touring season. I missed my wife's birthday and our anniversary for 9 years straight.
Wow.
Every year. And, you know, I missed anniversaries. I've missed birthdays, and not just my wife. I'm just talking my own family, you know, like your parents, how many birthdays do they have left with you? You know, how many Christmases, how many, you know, anything. And a lot of people don't see that side of it. You know, they see what's in front of the stage lights. It's, oh my gosh, I saw you on MTV, dude. I would give my left nut to do what you do.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's cool. And I really appreciate it. And I really love that I was able to do what I did. But at the end of the day, I would tell them, like, I would give my left nut to do what you do. Like, you get to go home tonight and pet your dog, sleep in your own bed, and, you know, talk to your parents, have a meal with your parents, or, you know, sit with your spouse or your significant other. Like, I don't get to do that. I got to smell these dudes' farts all night, you know, after the show, you know? And so it's just, you know, like I said, it does feel good to know that I chose that. And like, I came home because who else was going to do it? You know, like I stepped up, I was already married, you know, and my wife had a good, great relationship. And, you know, I don't know why she puts up with me, and she holds the fort, you know, while I was on tour. Hey, I'm going to go live my fantasy and my dream. You hold down the fort. And she did it, you know, and I'm forever grateful for that. But I have so much to make up, all the time that I missed with my parents and my wife. And I was like, I'm not going to make that a thing with my daughter. I've already missed a lot of time with my family. You know, I missed funerals, unfortunately. I mean, there are things that I missed that I can never, ever get back, time that I can never get back. But I'm going to do my damnedest to not lose any time with my daughter. Yeah. So, yeah, I feel good that I left when I left and made that decision.
Yeah, I mean, it must be tough for, you know, for anyone's partner, for, you know, being in a band and being on the road so much. Obviously, you're off living your dream and doing the thing that you're passionate about, but at the same time, there's a lot of hard work behind that. And like you say, sleeping on benches and waking up, you know, in pain and all the other stuff you hear about. But then I suppose you can't really complain to your partner about that. You know, you can't ring up and say, I'm having a bad day because, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, they're like, well, you're a band, you're on tour, you're kind of living your dream. So I suppose... I suppose it puts you in a bit of a difficult position because you'd be like, well, you can't really complain because you're doing something that you love so much. I don't know if that's the case, but I know it must take a really, really supportive partner to be able to live that lifestyle. And respect to you for, you know, for making that decision, because, well, like I say, Graham's got a son, you know, me and my wife are hopefully have a family soon, and it does take a lot of hard work and commitment, I suppose. But what was the transition like between touring? Was it difficult adjusting to normal life?
Well, it was pretty quick. So like I said, my last tour was that South America tour, and that wasn't planned. Like, that was just going to be another tour in the books. Found out the day I was leaving that, you know, we were going to be parents, and I told the guys and, you know, everybody congratulated me, and I was just kind of like, I'm done. Like, this is it. And it was, you know, it was awesome. The label was really good. You know, they understood, everybody understood. And so I was like, this is it. This is my last hurrah. And so that whole tour, you know, I took everything in. You know, I was like, this is the last Coke I'm going to be drinking on tour. Like, this is the last, you know, time I'm going to be in this place on tour. Like,
the last fart that I'm going to smell.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this is the last time I'm going to see, you know, so-and-so's ass for the last time, well, in a communal shower somewhere, you know, on tour. So I was like taking it all in, you know, and I was having a blast, but there was also a part of me inside that I wasn't sad, but I was just like, I'm going to miss this as much as I fucking complained about all this tiny shit. Like, God damn it, Jordan, you stop chewing so loud. I'm going to miss that, you know? And once that run was over, we came home and you know, my wife was excited. I came home and I put my bag down, and just gave her a huge hug. Like, I was like, this is it. Like, this, you're not married 3 months out of the year anymore. You're going to be married 12 months out of the year.
And then like 2 weeks later, she was like, can you go back on tour?
Yeah, pretty much. She was like, get the fuck out of here, please. And the thing is about touring as heavily as like my band did, we lived out of our suitcases, even at home. You know what I mean? Like, even when I was at home, I did laundry a little. I'm not going to lie. I was a dirty kid. We all were. But like, I didn't really like unpack, you know, until like the week before I left again, or no, like a day before I left again, because I had to do laundry again. And so I lived out of my suitcase for about for a couple of weeks after I got home still, you know, like, and it was so weird. It was so weird because after about 2 weeks, I started getting that feeling again. Like, I was like, okay, like, I'm getting cabin fever. It's time to go. Like, I got to go. Like, but there was nowhere to go. I'm not on tour anymore. I'm not going to be on tour again. And that was a little hard. I'm not going to lie. My wife and I had to kind of get to know each other again, which was cool, you know? And it definitely was a transition for me to like try to get in a regular routine. Like, I know no longer can sleep till whenever and stay up all night. Like, I'm going to be a normal human being, like a normal citizen. Like, I need to get on a schedule, you know? And so I did, and it did take a while, but also it wasn't as bad as I probably, like some people probably have it, because I was also surrounded by that awesome energy of, you're going to be a father. My wife's pregnant. Her baby bump's getting bigger. Let's plan. Let's get this room ready for her, for our daughter. We got to go. We need to get you, you know, whatever medications you need. And we're going to paint the walls pink in this room. You know, like I didn't have time to really dwell on any kind of negativity because I had such a great positive thing coming soon. We were overwhelmed with all that energy that, like, I didn't really have time to be upset about anything. You know, if I would have been upset, I couldn't tell you, honestly, because I didn't experience that. But I will say the transition from being that busy all the time to not being busy and trying to get into that routine and like a career and stuff, that definitely took some adjustment for me, man. It definitely did. But I think I did okay. You know, I like what I do now for work, and I'm a family man. And it actually snowed here overnight. And where we are in Texas, it rarely snows. And we got it looks like a Christmas movie outside. So in a little bit, this afternoon, after my daughter does her chores and whatnot, we're going to go outside and make a giant snowman. So, and I'm excited for that. I'm pumped. Those are the things that, like, you don't, you know, as a kid, you love making snowmen. Then you grow up a little bit and you're just like, oh gosh, it's snowing. It sucks. It sucked for me because I used to smoke and I'd be like, oh, I'm going to go outside and smoke in this snow. This is terrible. I hated it. And now I'm back up, right up again. Like, my daughter has shown me the magic of snow again, you know, and I'm like, you're right. This is a fun time. Go make snow angels. So it's rad, man. She made me grow up, but at the same time has brought this child out of me as well, you know, hanging out with her. So it's a wild ride.
That 100% sounds like the plot of a Christmas movie. We were talking about this last time, you know, on the road, then you know, you don't want to go out in the snow, and then you come home and then all of a sudden you've realized the joy of the snow, and, you know, life changes and then everyone's happy.
Maybe I should write that. I'm going to write that and send it to Hallmark. We'll let them.
I'm taking that. That's mine. This is my, on record. That's my idea.
Yeah, just call it the Sunny Vegas story. At least give me some credit.
But just going back to Close Your Eyes, while you were in Close Your Eyes, you had a great run as a band. Obviously signed to Victory Records, three excellent albums. God, it must be so good to look back on that and think, wow, we really made a really good go of that.
Yeah, it's cool. You know, growing up, everybody watched, well, probably our age, not everybody. Everybody our age watched MTV and saw the Van Halens and saw the Nirvana. Mm. And, you know, like we, at one point, everybody was like, I want to be a rock star. I want to be in a band. I want to tour the world. And some people grow out of it. And I didn't, I just wanted to do it. And I got lucky enough, you know, we were very, very lucky that I found a group of guys that were like-minded, and we made some okay music that people just happened to like, and you know, very, very lucky. And then there was some people that, you know, did things for us. Hey, you know, I know this guy, let me introduce you to him, or let's book you on this. And people took notice of us, and just some, you know, schmuck band from Abilene. Now Abilene's a very small, it's like a small town, and that's where we were from. So it's kind of weird, like for us to form in this small town to, you know, to get to kind of where we were as a band. Yeah. Looking back at it, it's wild. I would have never expected it. I never expected to actually do it. Cause I started getting to that point where I was like, okay, I'm going to end up, you know, Weekend Warrior. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with it, you know, but the chances of touring, you know, extensively like that, you know, very slim, especially at that point, especially from a band who has, you know, who's from such a small town. Like, we have to travel just to get anybody really to pay attention to us. But yeah, I mean, looking back at it, man, you know, we're lucky enough that we're also at that time of YouTube. And so it's easy to look back on. It's easy to go look at the music videos or some of the footage that we uploaded from our phones or this and that. And it's really cool. And it makes me feel, good to know that there were people that cared about what we were doing musically. And like I said, like, dude, we're not by any means the most talented individuals, like, at all. Like, I still sometimes listen to our music and I'm like, yeah, I dig it, but I don't understand why so many of these people dug it. Like, I don't get it.
Well, the one thing I was wondering, because you read this quite a lot about bands, and I feel like there's like a bit of a mystery about getting to that point of getting signed. So you, correct me if I'm wrong, you self-released an EP in 2008 and then signed to Victory in 2009, which is cool. But what happens in that 12 months? This is something I always wonder, you know, when you read this about bands, it kind of feels like they've, you know, they've done a quick recording, put it out there, and then next thing you know, that you've got, it's kind of like this vision of them being in, you know, the record label office in the top of a skyscraper with a guy in a suit signing them up. But what happens in that 12 months between putting that out and then all of a sudden you're on Victory? Like, what happens?
Okay. I'm going to try to condense the story as much as possible. Yeah. So
we want a day by day account.
Let me go get my journal.
Five points, sum it up.
Okay, so basically, man, like I said, we were from a small town, and we made our own scene here. We, like, in this town, it's not even a C market. It was the market where tours and bands came to die. You know what I mean? Like, we were the town that bands played when you're on your way down. Like, you're towards the bottom of that hill. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's what this town was. And so the only music scene here was like the bar metal scene, you know, like the scene where, like, at this point in time, everybody was just either trying to sound like Pantera or Killswitch Engage, or a mix of both. And that just wasn't our thing. And because of our age too, we were like between the age of 16 and 20. And so our crowd, our friends that were listening to, you know, more hardcore and punk stuff, didn't really have anywhere to go. So most of our crowd, you know, that, like I said, they were underage. They couldn't get into a bar to watch us play anyways. So we never felt welcomed as a band in any of that scene. Well, we decided, fuck it. Like, let's book our own shows. Like, hey, we like this band. They're coming through. They have an off date between here and wherever the next date is. It's Abilene. Let's see if they want to make some extra cash, and we'll give them place to, we'll give them place to sleep. Like, okay, cool. What's the band called? I don't know. They're not very big. They're called Four Today. Okay. Well, let's book them. Oh, what's another band? This band's not very big, but they're touring through. They're called I Wrestled a Bear Once. Oh, okay. Let's book them too. Oh, this band's not very big. What are they called? Oh, War of Ages. You know, we started booking these bands that were nothing, who eventually, you know, you've heard those names.
And, yeah, yeah.
And so we became friends with these bands at a very early time in their careers as well. And made this whole scene that people really like to come. Before you know it, bands were like, yo, if you have an off date in Texas, fill it in that town called Abilene. You're going to have a great time with these great kids, great show, and they'll put you up and give you a ton of food, Texas barbecue, and, you know, it's a fun time. And so we kind of became that town. Because of this, our friends in For Today, My Epic, War of Ages, you know, Plea for Purging, started talking to other, like, their people, like promoters. Hey, there's a band here, blah, blah, blah. We would trade shows with them if we were going to their town. Mm. You know, since we booked them in Abilene, we would open up or play with For Today in their town or whatever. Or they were doing a, you know, a short run tour. Let's all do a tour together. So because of that, it kind of took us out of Abilene. We were able to right. jump on their coattails. We also, this was very early on when, like, MySpace, like, you were able to send an invite to your band or come check out my band without people getting annoyed, you know, like, it's like so annoying now when you get that. But at this point, it was like, it was the beginning of that. So when you got a message, you were like, oh, cool, this band wants to be my friend. You know, like, you were super into it.
I got so many bands that way.
Well, we made like shifts of doing this thing of literally we would have paper of people from this area. Oh, these people are from the Houston, Texas area. They like this music. Let's add them and talk to them and tell them about our band. Hmm. Like, we took 2-hour shifts, each of us, just messaging on MySpace, just sending messages.
Wow, that is grafting.
Check this out. Check us out. Hey, I'm in a band. Check us out. Here's a link to, you know, some crack corded, some quick demo, this and that. Hmm. We decided to enter this, thing called, it's for Cornerstone Festival. It's the biggest Christian rock festival at the time in the world. Like, it was huge. Mm. They had like 4 stages and literally tons of generator stages, so small bands could play too. And we got in this running, it was like new band showcase where an unsigned band would open the main stage for Flyleaf, Skillet, Family Force 5, and some other bands. And so there's tons of bands around the country going for it. Well, we started doing that. Like how I said, we would send messages, you know, like, we had like this whole thing going, man. And we won. People voted for us. They liked us. And so that put us on a stage where people saw us on the main stage. They're like, who the fuck is this, you know, this nobody band playing with these bands? And one of the people that saw us is this clothing company called Self Destruct. And they also had a skateboarding team. And he really took us under his wing. He really liked us. He gave us a ton of free merch. And he also sponsored 2 other bands, one called The Overseer, who eventually signed to Solid State, and another called The Wedding, who I forgot who they, maybe it was Tooth and Nail. Anyway, so he had a good year. He sponsored us, made a tour, you know, and he put on his own mini Cornerstone. And he got the Newsboys, he had MXPX, he got all these bands. Ugh,
MXPX.
And because he liked us, and we had, you know, we were really, really close with him, and he let us stay at his house when we go into town and stuff. And he did really well. Like, his house was really nice. he was like, y'all, you know, I like y'all, blah, blah, blah. I'm gonna put you on the main stage. We were the only unsigned band on that main stage, and we played right before MXPX. Wow. So once again, it's all about just, we got really lucky that we became friends with people who decided to put us and promote us in situations that, you know, we got very lucky that turned out, you know, well in our favor. And so because of this, all the labels that were there were like, who is this? Like, who's this unsigned band opening for MXPX and the Newsboys? So that's when we started getting, oh, hey, Solid State is emailing us, or Blood Ink Records emailing us. And then before you know it, hey, Victory Records just emailed us. And so we were all, at this point in time, we were kind of, we were wanting to go with Face Down Records, because at that time, like, Face Down was huge. Like, Face Down had For Today, War of Ages, Plea for Purging, My Epic, like the Face Down family, the Face Down Records family was awesome, and we wanted to be a part of that. Mm. But also Victory, I mean, it's Victory. Everybody knew who Victory Records was.
Yep.
You know, early 2000s, Victory, Taking Back Sunday. I mean, you had Hatebreed, Taking Back Sunday, Bad Brains, Atreyu, Bury Your Dead, Comeback Kid, With Honor. I mean, Victory Records was Victory Records. And for them to get a hold of us, we were just kind of like, oh, let's hear what he has to say. And so they paid for us to drive up to Chicago, where they were based out of, and play a showcase. And so we set up at this practice place, and we have like four or five songs that we have to play. Like, okay, let's do it. In come Tony Brummel, the owner of Victory Records, and a couple of his people. So we had to play in front of like four people, just, you know, silhouettes of four people just standing watching us, you know, to get on this record, so, or this record label. So it was kind of terrifying, man, you know, to be put in that spotlight. And especially like I said, at that time, I love Victory Records. Anyways, we played our last song. Tony Brummel walks up, he shakes, I think, Shane's hand and looks at the rest of us, and he's like, I want to sign y'all right now. Let's do it. I'll get a piece of paper and just make the contract out right now. Let's do this.
That's
and then
awesome.
Shane, our vocalist, was like, okay, yeah, we'll definitely think about it.
Oh man. Wow. How hard did you slap him?
I was just like
swinging the bass at him.
And Tony, you could even see it on his face. He was like, is this kid serious? And he was like, okay, yeah, all right, for sure. You know, and then talked to us a little bit and he left. And I was like, dude, what the fuck? You know, like, what? But I mean, I see where Shane was coming from. Like, we didn't, just because it was Victory Records, you know, we didn't want to just jump into the deep end with anybody.
Yeah.
Let's you know, look at it. Let's see what the offers are from the other labels. Let's give the other labels a chance to meet the offer that they give us. You know, if they give us that good of a deal, you know, hey, we were talking with Face Down originally. Can you do this? And we did. And Face don't have the means that Victory does. So like, and they were very happy for us that we got that offer from Victory, and you know, No Bad Blood. I still love the Face Down team and Aaron, you know, all they were doing and everything. They were awesome. And we're still, you know, we were very good friends with a lot of the Face Down bands still, even after that, even though everybody was pulling for us to join that family, you know. But yeah, it was literally just a string of situations, man, of just us getting lucky, being in front of the right people, meeting the right people, and becoming friends with those right people, and them doing what they did as far as putting us in positions or introducing us to situations that got us noticed by certain people. And that's all it was, man. It's just a stream of luck. And we just happened to have at that time that sound that was like, this is hardcore, but it's also kind of, we had some pop punk songs, but we also had some like really punk riffs and stuff, and then we also had like the heavy, like my screaming, you know, here and there. So we kind of had a sound that a lot of people enjoyed, or a lot of different kinds of people enjoyed, you know, different tastes. So it was a lot of luck, man. It was a lot of luck. I hope that wasn't too long.
No. That's so that was the first day. So what happened on the second day?
That was January the 1st.
Well, it doesn't sound like luck to me. It sounds like you did something amazing where you've realized, I mean, whether it was conscious or not, like actually putting these bands on in your small town, that was the way to get them to know you. And then that led to better things because people realized who you were, who may never have come through your town otherwise. That's a pretty cool way to organize things and to have people know who you are. And you know, it sounds like that helped you along the way later on. That's really cool.
Yeah, for sure.
Everyone always says, oh, it's luck, you know. I think a lot of people, I mean, again, when I was, you know, playing the bands when I was younger, you know, we worked really hard on it, and unfortunately nothing ever came of it. But I don't think we worked very smart on it. We worked hard, but we weren't really thinking. I think we were a bit naive and thought, oh, something will happen along the way. But I know you're, I don't know if you were the same, like you get your parents or your relatives and like, oh, it's all down to luck. It's down to luck. And I think they picture it's one of those things where, you know, you'll be playing a gig and then the guy from the record label pulls up in his limo and the window comes down. He's got a big cigar and he's like, you guys sound great. Yeah, I'm going to sign you. And it's, but yeah, it's, I suppose it's about making your own luck and thinking outside the box, isn't it? And that's obviously something, you know, that you did and it worked. Do you still play music now or have you drawn a line under it now?
You know, when I left the band, I had to just stop. To me, music was like my life. It was literally like my crack. I used to skip school just to stay home and learn how to play that Creed riff, you know? and I knew in order to do this and, you know, focus on my family and upcoming, you know, fatherhood and stuff, that I had to put that away at least for a while. And so I did, I put it away for years. For like 2 years, I didn't touch a guitar or bass at all. And then, after that, I think I was at a friend's house once and we were just having a couple drinks and he had his bass. And so we started jamming maybe for like an hour, you know?
Yeah.
But now, you know, I catch myself playing here and there, on this guitar. I have a guitar. I'm in my studio, so I'm looking at my guitar right now. You know, I'll write some stuff here and there. I've recorded a little, but nothing that I plan on releasing. I'm not really interested in like doing the band thing again, you know, per se, like touring, doing the weekend gigs. It's just, I'm good. It's, you know, even if COVID wasn't around, but which is why I started the podcast. So I quit playing music and music was a huge part of me to focus on, you know, my career and my wife and my daughter. Well, with that, I kind of lost a piece of myself. And so I had this void that like for years that I walked around with, and I was just kind of like, okay, I quit music. I don't want to play music anymore. You know, my hobby now includes coming home from work and having a few beers. Like, you know, like that's not healthy. This is not healthy. You know, I have to do something for myself. I focused, did well, you know, my daughter's a little older now. I got to do something. And so that's the idea of the podcast came. And so this podcast has been like a really healthy outlet for me. It's kind of replaced playing music and, you know, touring and all that stuff. It's filled that void. So yeah, I'm not really playing music, you know. My focus is, as far as like that aspect, like my hobby is just basically my podcast. So I don't really play too much anymore. So I probably suck. Even if I wanted to start, I probably nobody would want me in their band because I'm probably terrible.
The podcast is great though. I've listened to more than a few episodes and it's just so naturally funny. I mean, I'm starting to realize that how much that might be alcohol now and how much we need to start doing the same.
It's all the things we aren't.
But it must be so, because like some of the guests that you've had on are amazing as well. I suppose you've got that thing where you're obviously not playing music anymore, but to do this and talk to those people pulls you back into that world and still makes you very part of what's going on and talking to those people about their experiences.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I may not be playing music anymore, but this podcast has definitely got me back into the music scene once again. You know, it's made me pay attention to those up and coming bands again, where I was very stuck in my ways. I was very like, I like what I like. I haven't listened to anything past 2010, you know? But because of this podcast, it's definitely like, you know, I'm starting to like look up bands again and check out this band that I slept on, like Spirit Box. I was an absolute fucking idiot for sleeping on that band, because now they're my favorite fucking band.
Yeah.
And,
we were literally just talking about them the other day. I sent Kieran the link and I was like, I've just contacted their PR, because Courtney was in
Aristotle Bear
once. Yeah. And I sent Kieran this and I was like, just watch this. And it was like the live session they did for Sirius, the liquid metal one. And it's just, the first song, Holy Roller, when she, as soon as she just starts growling, it's like, oh my God, this is so
cool. I remember seeing that, and then it was whatever, there's a bit of an intro, isn't it? And I was watching it, I was like, I know that any second now my face is going to get melted off.
Yeah, Courtney, she has amazing vocals, and she was also an amazing vocalist in I Wrestle the Bear once as well. And I love I Wrestle the Bear once. They were you know, one of the bands I mentioned earlier that we booked very early on before they started getting any traction. And actually, I'm releasing an episode tomorrow morning with the bassist to I Wrestled the Bear Once, and he has his own podcast now called Worship and Tribute Nerd, and it's more of a video podcast. But I mean, he's had Courtney on there, he's had guests from like Vale of Maya, he's had he was in Owabo, so he has a lot of connections with the bands he toured with. And that's kind of like what I did with my podcast. I just got in touch with my old friends that I made, you know, in the music industry, and was just like, come on and talk shit with me, man. You know, like I don't really, if you listen to my podcast, I don't have like I'm going to ask these questions and blah, blah. It's just like wherever the conversation takes us, let's just go with it. Let's roll with it.
Yeah.
The only questions I asked are like the last 10 questions of the episode. Before that though, I mean, it's whatever. We talk about whatever. And I just let the drinks talk, honestly.
Excellent. Well, I don't know if you want to move on to some questions from the fans, Kieran.
We haven't written any questions down, you know, we just go with it, you know. Anyway, question eight is, the first fan question is, I mean, this is quite an important one, I suppose, but it was one that I don't know whether we were going to ask, but I feel like it's something that probably should be addressed. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know who this is from, but the question was, how you be so sexy boy all the time?
Oh my God.
But it's something that I feel we do need to address. How you be so sexy boy all the time?
It's not easy, man. It's not easy. This is a process.
Yeah, so we put up some questions, and then Sonny was the first to contact us straight away with how you be so sexy boy all the time. But
I think you've got to rep yourself, haven't you, though? Like if you don't believe in yourself, then
who's going to believe in you? Hang on. Was this for you, or was this aimed at us? Because it won't be the first time we've been called sexy boys, so no, maybe we've got the wrong end of the stick.
Whoever feels like they should answer it should answer it.
It's clearly Kieran then, isn't it? It's clearly...
I mean, my sex appeal, it's just, I guess you can't practice it, you can't learn it, you just are.
It's just natural. Are. You can't teach that shit.
That's why if you notice I'm quite badly lit, there's a light behind me, but you can't see my face. It's just because it tends to put the guests off.
You sound like a cult leader.
Yeah, when we get off this, we need to talk about the asteroid, and I've got some booklets to send you.
Okay.
You can ask question two then.
Oh, this is the one we talked about before this episode, and I said, I don't want to ask this question.
I'll ask it.
No, it's fine. I'm going to do it. So, well, I guess, first of all, do you know someone who's a barber in Texas called Mateo? Because they've got a question for you. he will... he probably knows it's going to be bad. So the question is, he will know what I'm talking about. Please ask, how does your... gunt smell?
Oh my God.
I feel violated just asking that. I don't know what a gunt is, a G-U-N-T. Like, I feel wrong.
I feel like, does this Matteo know that we're a serious podcast? You know, we're a legitimate serious podcast.
No jokes allowed here.
Well, I guess I have to say...
Yeah, is this something you can explain, or do we need to move on?
Yeah, I can explain. First of all, shout out to Gunt Gang nationwide, worldwide. A gunt, and I don't know, you guys make edit this out of your podcast, so thank God it's not live. A gunt is just, oh my God, I can't believe I'm about to explain this.
Is this one of those you had to be there jokes? Because if it is, I really feel your pain, and I'm looking forward to hearing
that. No, it's, oh my gosh, instead of... Oh God. Instead of a cunt, it's called a gunt because it's just your fat gut. So we call it our gunts. We're idiots.
Well. Oh man.
So stupid.
Yeah. Well, oh my God. You know, it's whatever makes you laugh, right? It doesn't matter.
I still don't know whether I fully understand. So it's
I think I get it because I think I have one, and now I feel upset that I have one.
We just basically call our fat guts gunts. Like it's a mix between the word cunt and gunt. And like
so
it's cunt and gut. We just put the two words together.
So would you say a gunt is necessary to be a sexy boy all the time?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. It's the equivalent of like what they call a fupa, which is
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I know what you mean.
There you go. It's the equivalent of a fupa.
I knew you were thinking you were going to talk about your music.
Well, the good news is the question that Kieran's about to ask is actually a proper, sensible question. So fire away, Kieran.
Well, I don't know if this is someone you know as well. I think you've just been spammed. I guess you pronounce it warble garble, WARBLGARBL. And they would like to know, at what age did you know, damn, I'll never be in the Olympics?
Fuck. Jacob. Yeah, I know him. Yeah, I know.
These are the best questions. Like, we've had some before where it's like, you know, when you played like that opening string in front of all those people and you know, the memory of that person hit you, how did it it's just like, when did you know you weren't gonna be in the Olympics?
Yeah, what snare skins do you use what live? Yeah. Although we had a good one once that just said, I love rock music. Do you? That was a good one.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Was there an age when you realized? Because I'll be honest, for me, we're the same age. We're 34. It's an ongoing dream for me. So I've not yet come to this realization that I, you know, won't be doing the shot put in the Olympics anytime soon. But I don't know if you've come to that realization yet.
I came to the realization when I watched Cool Runnings and I was like, fuck, hey, I can do that. I can do that. Easy. I just got to kind of keep weight. And then about like 13, I was like, no, I like pizza a lot.
Well, the only way. when you said you watched Cool Runnings, you think I could do that. You technically could still, if you just want to be John Candy. Because you don't have to go the athlete route. You could just go the big guy route, you know?
I guess I can teach people just how to slide. Yeah, I can do that.
John Candy, God rest his soul, greatest actor of all time.
Yeah, he was a good guy. He was a good guy.
Yeah.
Okay, this is a real question. The other ones are real questions, but this is it's a serious question.
Yeah, not belittle those other ones.
Username motherfucking nature. What are the chances of Close Your Eyes coming back together and releasing more
music?
Percentage wise, we want a percentage.
Thoughts, feelings. I think it's music. I'm assuming they mean music.
Releasing more garbage. That's a tough one, man. You know, I'm one of those people. If you would have asked me this question like 3 years ago, I would have been like, no, never, you know, especially like with me, you know, it's not going to happen. But I've come to learn that like never say never is always a good answer because you never know. Like you never know. Yep. The chances of us, you know, coming together as a band and like, you know, doing that again, touring, writing, going into the studio, all that stuff, probably pretty low, man. Like honestly, like very, very low. There was a lot of there was some drama, I guess, that you know, we kind of had to get by and things that, you know, we have overcome since, you know, amongst the band and its members that, you know, when Shane left the first time, there was some bad blood there. You know, there were some things that were said and things that were left unsaid, and it took some healing. And it wasn't until like a year and a half to a year until I started talking to Shane again. And, you know, now we're fine, you know, it's all good. We'll talk about it and get drunk and laugh. But at that time, there were some things that were said and things that just, it took us down, you know, and he was a very, you know, good friend of mine and stuff. And so it was hard that I lost one of my best friends, but at the same time, I was so angry with him too. And not for anything that people assume, probably. There was just some bad blood. And so, you know, that, and then with our guitarists, like we don't really talk with our guitarists, Brett. There were some things that led to the band actually breaking up. So when I left the band replaced me with Alex Witten, who's another dear friend of mine. He was the first, my first guest on the podcast, actually. Mm. And so he was in the band for about a year, and then they found out some things surfaced that just sucked as far as business-wise with the band. And so it led to them basically just like, it's whatever, like we're done. And so the band kind of died a quiet death. So yeah, getting together, touring and stuff. I would say it's a very, very low chance. Final answer.
Cool.
Well, just before we say goodbye as well, I'd like to ask a question. Me and Kieran were pretty excited when we found out about this. So me and Kieran are both big fans, no joke, of Kelly Clarkson. And we believe you worked with Cameron Webb, who has also produced Kelly Clarkson. So is there a link? Is this the way that our dream of having Kelly Clarkson on the podcast, and we have emailed her, no joke. is this how it finally happens? Please tell us.
Don't feel any pressure to answer now. If you feel you need to go away and speak to your people to get them to speak to her people, you know, we can give you a week or so.
It's okay.
I'll tell you what I can do. I will text Cameron, and I will text him and say, yo, dude, get a hold of Kelly Clarkson. There's some dudes that want her on the podcast. And you know what? Fuck it. I want her on my podcast too. You said in the beginning, yeah, we're rivals. So no, fuck you guys. She's coming on mine.
Damn it. Yeah, well, we've mentioned this on a previous episode, but one day I was like, you know what? Because me and Graham love Breakaway. Like we love that album. So we were like, it'll be great to get her on and talk about the album, but from a, you know, like a metalhead's point of view about why we love the album so much. So I found a PR, not a PR company, her, whoever it was, the management at a label or whatever. And I typed out this really nice email, like not to sound like I was, you know, taking the piss out of them or trying to be funny or anything like that. I was like, legitimately, we would like to come on the podcast. Sent it. Then I text Graham saying, I've just emailed Kelly Clarkson's management. And then about 10 minutes later, something popped up on the news saying she's going through a divorce at the moment. So we're like, this could not have been worse timing. I'm sure when she's in the middle of a divorce, she's going to want to come and talk to two unknown British metalheads about her 15-year-old album.
Because obviously the timing and her divorce was the only thing that would have stopped her.
Yeah, otherwise she would have come straight on.
Otherwise it would have been fine. She definitely would have.
If we see the Always Sunny podcast in a couple of weeks with Kelly Clarkson, I'm going to be really mad.
I'll be fucking livid.
Well, like you said earlier, like you said that we were a competition, man. Like I started my podcast just to have an excuse to talk to my friends and drink with them. Like this is nothing that I don't do. The only difference is I hit record on a microphone. You know what I mean? Like that's it. And
that's the way it should be done. We're like, there's so many, again, going back to like what Kieran was saying about like podcast groups. There's one I'm part of on Facebook, and like people are like, okay, I've done my first episode. At what point in your business plan did you factor in monetizing? And I'm like, God, these people, they're just like, we just do it for a laugh.
I've had 15 downloads. How do I get a sponsor?
Yeah.
I was like thinking about doing it for years, and I was like, well, I'm just, you know, I got my friends. I'm just going to record me talking to my friends. Like, that's what it's going to be about. And so I, you know, looked into it. I never knew how to do any of this. You know what I mean? Like, I did all my graphic design, everything that is my podcast, including the studio, Blast Studio. This is Blast Studio. Everything is me. I recorded it. I learned how to do, you know, I bought all the mic stands, learned how to do the graphic design, the videos. I didn't know how to do anything, any of that, until this past year. And so I didn't start this to kind of like how you said, you see these people like, oh, what time of your business plan size and stuff. I was just kind of like, okay, how do I podcast, how do I edit, Google, what should I download? You know, how do I use interfaces? I had no idea, man, none of it. And so, and I keep that mindset where it's like, this is just, I don't care. Like, if nobody's listening, this is for me. Like, this is therapeutic. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what I do for me as an outlet, you know, instead of rage punching my fucking pillow, you know, like, this is what I do. And that's, you know, I've gotten very lucky. I've gotten very, very lucky with the podcast, that it, how well it's done. And I released my 10th episode tomorrow. I only have 9 episodes, you know, and it's wild to see, you know, what it's done and what it's kind of become in this past year. And it's just cool. But at the same time, like I said, I don't care if nobody's listening. I get with my best friend, Nicole, my co-host, and we get drunk talking about how I got drunk talking to my other friends, you know, and recorded that, you know, like it's just a time, you know, I just use it to have a few drinks, pass time and see some old faces, you know, some old friends. Yeah. That's what I do. You know, amazing. I don't have a plan or anything like that.
Yeah. Well, we're banging about this all the time, really. But originally we weren't going to have guests on. We were just going to have a chat. But then it's just been cool. And we get to chat to, you know, people that we wouldn't have chatted to, like you, and get to know people and hear the stories and stuff. So it's like,
yeah,
nice little outlet. That's and we fun. Get to ask, you know, serious fan questions.
Yeah. And if no one listens to it, that's fine as well. Like, we just, it's just something that isn't working and isn't just sitting indoors, like you said, having a beer. It's nice. It's nice to speak to people. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. But we just need to figure out how we're going to get sponsorship now.
Yeah. When do we monetize? When Kelly
brings us on to our next question. So, Sonny, we're wondering if you'd be interested in a sponsorship opportunity with us.
Me sponsor y'all.
I'm going to show you a chart with time and money.
For sure, man. Down. Well, I'll get my people at Blast Studio to talk to your people.
Yeah.
We'll get this going.
Yeah, well,
sounds good, brother.
We will have Kelly on board soon, so we'll be sorted. But we'll leave. I was going to say we'll leave you get back to your evening, but it's not your evening; it's your daytime. You need to go make a snowman.
I'm going to go make a snowman, and then I got to edit the rest of this episode and release it.
Yeah, cool. Well, thank you so much for coming on. It's been awesome to talk to you. Anyone listening, go back and check out Close Your Eyes if you haven't already. 3 quality albums. If you listen to one podcast this year, listen to the Always Sunny podcast. If you listen to 2, there's probably some other good ones out there. If you listen to 3, listen to us as well.
Yeah, thanks, Sonny.
I appreciate you guys having me on, man. I've had a blast, and I love getting on other podcasts, man, and especially podcasts that do it well. So, you know, I like I said, I listened to y'all last night and a little bits and pieces of when I can.
But you still came on.
And and I still came on. So you guys aren't terrible. I didn't cancel on y'all. So
awesome. Yeah. Cool. We'll leave you to build your snowman.
Right on, man. Thank you.
Thanks.
Take care.
Bloody hell. That was a bloody good interview, that.
Well, crappity crap crap.
Craptacular. Oh.
Craptacular.
Yeah, that's off The Simpsons, isn't it? I'm sure Bart says that about something that's craptacular, but I don't know whether that means it's good or bad.
I like it. Need to use it more. Yeah. What a chat, what a dude.
I think I laughed a lot at the end of that. But I'm just really hoping that he got to make that snowman, because I didn't see any pictures of it. But
no, he did. It was on Instagram.
Oh, was it?
I'd look afterwards, and him and the 3 of them went outside and built a snowman. It was awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. So wow. There you go. He's a man of his word.
Well, hopefully, you know, the snowman was. I'm going to go for like an analogy tangent again here. I'm not going to do that because I keep doing that.
Yeah, if you haven't listened to, honestly, are we ever going to be able to get through an outro without like either laughing or just fucking it up? Probably not, but that's the charm. It's the authenticity. We're genuine. I was just going to say, if you haven't listened to Close Your Eyes, go and listen to them. The 3 albums that they put out between, I think, was it 2010 and 2014?
Something like that.
And they're all actually they're all really good. And go and check out Sonny's podcast, the Always Sunny podcast. See what he did there. It's funny because it's always sunny.
Don't check out too much because we're the rivals. So check out a little bit, but check us out more.
What I would do is I'm pretty sure most podcast services don't register listens that are under 10 seconds. So go and listen for 10 seconds and then say, do you know what? This is brilliant. And it's going to be hard going back to too old for this pit, but I'm just going to, I've made my bed and I'm going to lie in it.
Oh, the self-loathing. No, it's a cool podcast. Check it out. Very similar to ours in a lot of ways, but he just drinks a lot more, which is kind of something that we might need to start doing. Because
we're totally going to do, I tell you what, when we get to 1,000 followers on Insta, let's do a drunk live Q&A.
All right, I'm in.
Sweet. Should we spoil episode 16?
Yeah, well, should we? Because we've done this before a couple of times and then it's not come to fruition. So yeah, are we going to tell people that we've got Corey Taylor on next, and I can't think of anyone else who's big. Well, we haven't got Corey Taylor on. I was just trying to think of like the most unlikely person who would want to come on this podcast.
Louis Armstrong.
Lance Armstrong.
Neil Armstrong. God, you'd love that.
Neil Armstrong's ghost. Anyway.
Yeah. So we won't do that. We'll tell you, keep an eye on social media, keep an eye on our Instagram, and we'll tell you episode 16 is going to be with. But it's another doozy. This one's going to be a really exciting one too. Mm. But thanks for listening.
Thank you. Yeah.
Sorry for the noise Kieran just made.
That was coming from your new mic because it's so powerful. just bloody check us out on the bloody Instagram. Yeah. Give us a bloody share. Send us a bloody message. Tell everyone you bloody know about us.
Yep. And if you think crap's...
And sorry, just leave some reviews for us, because we haven't got many reviews on iTunes or whatever, or the podcast app, whatever it's called. I don't even know. I don't care. But you do. And you should. So leave us a nice little review.
Yeah, that would be awesome. It takes 2 minutes and it genuinely means the world to us. And on one final note, if you think crap's a swear word, fuck off.